Everybody. We are so happy to be able to be here with you and share about some things that have been so important to us in our livelihood, in our work. I want to thank Brother Randy Hales for giving us this opportunity to come and share with you. And I just hope and pray that by the time we're finished, you're going to share some of the same convictions that we do, the things that God is doing in our world today. I want to, right off the bat, thank you for all you do for the Lottie Moon Christmas offerings. We always want to bring that up right away. That's what's made it possible for us to be, to have been, in Brazil for all the years we were there. We'll be sharing some about that. But to be able to come back now and to be involved in the work that Louisiana Baptists are doing in Haiti, we want to share that with you, and that'll be our main focus. Three things that have made me very happy to be here already this morning. I've already heard the name Wade Akins. I've already heard the name Sherry Blackwell, Jocelyn now. Her husband Boots and I were the best of buddies. Now, I didn't realize I was going to get to do this, but you know what that is? Did you know missionaries carry around little pocket knives? Boots Blackwell gave me that. And I tell you that to let you know how close missionaries become. They become like family. And I've been carrying that with me for 20 years. But anyway, we're here. We want to say thank you also because we know that your Vacation Bible School offering went to the Louisiana Reach Haiti, to the children's home that's being built in Haiti as we speak. And we'll be sharing more of that. I want to just read a little verse to you as we began, something that means a lot to me, and I know it will to you as well. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance to do." Now, another way to say that, instead of saying we, I could say that you are God's handiwork. I can say that I am God's handiwork, that He created, He prepared us in advance to do a work that He has planned for each one of us to do.
Okay, so basically, God called us. We were still very young. We had three small children. And the challenge was presented to us to go to Brazil. And we said, "I will," not having any clue exactly what would be doing, what we would be doing, or how we would go about doing it. But in 32 years of service in Brazil, we saw God move in mighty ways, not because we were there, but simply because He chose to allow us to be part of what He was doing in Brazil. And as we said, "I will," that was the response that God wanted from us. He didn't expect us to know everything. He didn't expect us to have all the resources we would need. He simply expected obedience. And He did have a plan prepared in advance for us to do, and we wanted to do what He had prepared for us. So in those 32 years, we're not going to share a lot about Brazil because we're going to focus on Haiti today. That would be another whole day. But in 32 years, we were involved in several different kinds of ministries. The church planting, we just saw God do amazing things in that area. We were never church planters or pastors in any way here in the States. We were both involved in social work and in childhood education, that kind of thing. But God used us to plant 10 churches directly, where we actually invested our blood, sweat, and tears and a lot of effort along with prayer and brothers and sisters, Brazilian brothers and sisters, to see 10 churches planted in the metropolitan area of Florianópolis in southern Brazil. But also, He used us to work and help start or strengthen 2 community centers. And those community centers were in poor areas And God just brought about things in a way that made possible ministries to those areas that included helping people to help themselves, provide courses, vocational skills, and things that they could do. Also, two children's homes in conjunction with churches, and where we saw many, many children, hundreds of children come through and receive the nurture and love that they needed after being abandoned, after being abused in many cases, and just to be helped and loved. The little boy you're seeing right there was Charles, is his name. He had been abandoned in a field and was found covered in ants when he was brought to the children's home. But that little boy flourished in a way. He was adopted when he finally, all the legal papers were done, when he was about 3 years old. And so we've seen many cases like that, children being rescued from dangerous situations and brought into a loving home. Two drug rehab centers also, one for men and one for women, where we saw many people have their lives changed. Obviously, in that kind of work, not everyone will completely recover. We know that is always a struggle, but we found that those who actually had Christ in their lives, who accepted Christ, that they were the ones that would completely continue sober.
Those were absolutely wonderful, wonderful years that we had. We would do it all over again. Raised our four children there, and several of them have been missionaries around the world to this day. But we did retire. God brought us back to Minden to take care of Alana's mom and dad. You all may know them, Bill and Jerry Ichter. I don't know if that name means anything. It does in Minden. They're probably one of the best loved couples in the city of Minden. But anyway, we came back here for that purpose, and wouldn't you know it, God was not through with us. He had something else in store for us to be involved in, and that is the country of Haiti. You know, we've tried our best to help Haiti over the years, and it seems like it just never gets off the ground. But I want you to look at this map of Haiti. It's smaller than the state of Maryland. Haiti, the country, is smaller than the state of Maryland, and it has managed to get itself into one big mess over the years. The capital, you'll see there, is Port-au-Prince. The languages that they speak in Haiti are Haitian Creole, which we're trying to learn just a little bit. That's not Portuguese, we've got it down. We can do that. But Haitian Creole really has not anything in common with it, but we're getting there. Or French. If any of you are French-speaking, you can go there and get along just fine. Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. I don't know if you knew that. The poorest country. And did you know that it's one of the three poorest countries in the world? It's a country that needs help. I could go into such detail about how they became a country. Won't have time to do that today, but they've suffered. 80% of the population of Haiti live below the poverty line. Not 20%, 80% live below the poverty line. They try to survive one day at a time. The homes they live in are made of whatever material that they can put together to form a wall, to put a roof on it, hold it down with bricks or something to keep the wind from blowing it away. Scrap metal, just whatever material they can do. Many of them still live in tents that were provided to them back in 2011 or 2010, I believe it was. Population of Haiti, right at 10 million people. 10 million in a little country smaller than the state of Maryland. And they make their living there by whatever means they can. And when I say that, I mean whatever means. They get out and work in the hot sun all day long trying to survive. from things like selling whatever wares they can come up with, flour, sugar, cornmeal, whatever they can get their hands on. They will stand out in the hot sun and work all day. Sometimes they have a little umbrella, like a beach umbrella, to work at. But the small appliances, mattresses you see there. The Haitians are very good furniture makers. Everything you've seen so far, it's right out on the sidewalk because they don't have the building, the structures. Those were mostly destroyed during the earthquake that they had earlier. But vegetables, the ladies will carry these vegetables out to, and they find themselves surrounded by 10 million people trying to survive, and they'll put their vegetables on the wet ground and try to sell them. Not the kind of thing that looks real appetizing that I would want to buy, but anything from clothing, shoes, everything out on the sidewalk as they go day by day trying to make a living for that one day.
Haiti's also a very young country. We would not be living if we were Haitian, most likely, because at one point they said the age the life expectancy was around the age of 49. That has improved somewhat in the last few years. But the median age is 22. That means when you look around yourself, when you're in Haiti, you will see a lot of young people. As Ronnie has already mentioned, there was a terrible, devastating earthquake in 2010. Most of you will remember when that happened. Although I will say that not a whole lot of news media made it to Haiti during that time to cover it because things were just so devastated there. So we didn't quite get the coverage on that we get maybe on some other disasters that happen around the world because of the horrible situation that they were in. But it killed approximately 250, even estimates as high as 315,000 people just like that. Can you imagine that? That is huge. It's like the entire city of Shreveport and then some disappearing. Just not disappearing, but just being completely damaged. It was a very, very bad earthquake. Well, as soon as that happened, in typical fashion, Louisiana Baptists were very quick to go in with their disaster relief teams, just as they are now working in Florida after the hurricane hit there. But we are seeing now so many things that have happened because of that earthquake that have spurred Louisiana Baptists to work there alongside local believers. So they began to send teams to Haiti. And a partnership was established between Louisiana Baptist and Haitian Baptist. Pastor DeLouis LaBranche is the executive director of what would be the Haitian Baptist Convention. They call it the Haitian Baptist Mission. And we have worked very closely with Pastor Jean-Louis Audevald, and he is a church planter. He has planted multiple churches in the last few years, along with the church that he pastors, which is in the town of Croix de Bouquet, not far out of Port-au-Prince. And we have had many, many teams going to Haiti since 2010. In the beginning, doing mostly disaster relief, but then as needs just became so apparent in the field of evangelism, and then seeing the plight of many children. But that always included going house to house, sharing Christ, just always sharing the gospel with adults and children, seeing many people pray to receive Christ. I was privileged the last time I went to be on the water filter team, where we went in and provided water filters to provide clean drinking water. They had been having an outbreak of cholera that in great measure is caused by poor quality of drinking water. But as they were installing the filters, we were sharing the gospel with the people that lived there, telling them about the living water and giving them a portion of God's word. The construction teams that have gone have been very busy, not only helping with the rebuilding efforts after the earthquake and later a hurricane that came through, but also by building churches, a school, and most recently doing some work at the Children's Village that we're going to talk to you more about at the end. But also on teams, while some were doing construction, some were doing medical clinics, medical and dental clinics. And Haitians, they're are some good hospitals there, but very few Haitians have access to them because they are private. So the vast majority of the population has little to no access to medical care. VBS has also been a highlight of our ministry in Haiti, working with the children. What a privilege, what a joy. And if you've never done VBS with 400 children inside of one large room, you haven't lived yet. So I challenge you to go to Haiti. But we would work with children, just telling them about Jesus, feeding them a good hot meal. And what really touched my heart was seeing as we passed the plates out to the children. This was at a school that's held in a church. As we distributed the food, many times the kids would eat half of what was on the plate and then ask for an extra plate to take home to their mother or somebody because they did not have the food to eat at home. I literally, on visits at home, saw people scraping off the little leaves off of bushes, mixing them with cornmeal and water, and that was their meal. So just a lot of poverty. But it was so much fun just spending time with the children and showing God's love to them.
Life in Haiti is so difficult and so sad. For me, the sad reality is the fact that there are 400,000 children in Haiti who are orphaned or without adults in their lives to take care of them. Can you imagine that? I mean, can you just imagine that? Just to say that, that's the reality in Haiti. The children are there without anyone to care for them. Many times they're taken into a home to be treated as a little slave. And the Haitian people think they're doing these children a favor by giving them a place to stay in their home, giving them a place to sleep and some food. The children are not taken in love. They're taken in to be used. They're called restaveks, and that means to stay with. Yes, you can come stay with us. And all that we need for you in order for you to do that is for you to be is to work. You know, you're old enough at 4 years old, 5 years old, to go to work for the rest of your life. These children get up at the crack of dawn. They do the cooking, those who can. They do the cleaning. They take care of the smaller children, if you can believe that. That's the reality of Haiti that we're talking about. It's hard to understand. Getting water at the wells. Most of the homes do not have water, electricity, no lights, no plumbing. And so they do have public wells. The children can spend their day going back and forth to the public water wells, filling up, carrying as much water as they can to bring it back on their heads to provide for the home the water they need for that day. How much water do you need in your home each day? To brush your teeth, to cook, to bathe, to clean your home. The little restaveks children provide the water for these homes. That's just not right. One out of every five children would die before the age of five in Haiti. Some will be because of medical care.
For lack of it, I should say.
Some for the just because they're malnourished. And some because they're just not nourished at all in any way, emotionally. They're not loved. They're not nourished. They're not loved. And I hope by looking at these pictures, you'll feel just for a brief moment, and even more than that, the dire situation that some of God's creation, some of His children, the way they're growing up. But you know what? There is a way that we can make a difference in the lives of those children.
James 1:27 says, "The religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." And that puzzled me a little, polluted by the world. And then I thought, you know, we as Americans are strongly polluted by the world of materialism. When we go to other places like Haiti and we see how people live, how they survive, and we come back here and see the abundance. And so many times, how much we just spend on ourselves. You know, just having a bigger house, a boat, a vacation home, and so on and so forth. Nothing wrong with having things, but are we sharing? You know, so I think that's what it means by saying polluted by the world. Are we falling into that same trap? Are those things that we actually need? Or is it just we're spending a lot on things that we want? Well, the next phase of our partnership is to build a children's village. And as Ronnie explained, the plight of the children, the problem is huge. There is no way that we as Louisiana Baptists can solve that problem alone. Thankfully, there are many organizations doing work in Haiti and Christian organizations, which is really what we need. There are some who are doing it too, and we see some things that are not quite right. There was a lot of money poured in, but not in the right way, I guess, going into the right hands. So a lot of it has not been going to the right places, but there are many very good Christian organizations that are making a difference as they can in their own little spot. And that's what we want to do as Louisiana Baptists. You know, the proverbial thing about the sand dollars or the sea starfish on the sand, you know, somebody saying, oh, look at all those dead starfish. And a little boy started throwing one by one back into the ocean, and they had been washed ashore, did not have enough water to get back in. And the man said, well, why are you doing that? Look how many. There's no way you can save all of them, he said, but it's making a difference for this one and this one and this one. And that story is so true in people's lives too. We can't save the world. We can't help all those 400,000 Haitian children, but we can make a difference in this one and this one and this one. Well, this picture is the proposed children's village, okay? Now, the water well was the first thing to be built, and the surrounding community has been using it ever since it was built. They are so thankful for that because now they have one a little bit closer to where they live. We were required by law to build an 800 linear foot wall around the property that will house the children. Not to keep the children in, but to keep other people out from coming in and stealing food or whatever, because when people are desperate, they will do that. The administration building, they had a dedication for it 2 weeks ago Sunday. That's how it looks now. So I can't say it's 100% completed, but all it lacks now is the finishing touches, the painting, the furnishing on the inside, and that is where the children will eat. That is where they will have tutoring, and so that part is built. And also, the first cottage is in the same stage. The structure is completed. Now we just need the finishing touches. There was a team there. They left 2 weeks ago. So our goal in this whole project is to raise up a new generation of Daniels and Esthers. Those who will have Christ in their hearts will learn Christian values and be able to stand up for what's right in their country that's been just so plagued by corruption and so many things. But we just want to give children a hope for the future. When you look at those little faces, you just want them to have hope for the future. We want to teach them about Jesus, give them a good education, health care, a loving home, and help them reach their potential. Now, obviously, many of those children who are just abandoned, it's because the poverty is so great. So people are not sometimes completely orphaned, but the families just can't take care of them. So they send them out to fend for themselves. So one of our goals, too, is to minister to families so that they can take their children, can raise their children. So anyway, that's our whole project. Why are we building this children's village? That's why. We want to make a difference in those lives that we can touch.
We're so pleased to have the opportunity to share with you same message we've been sharing with a number of churches here in Louisiana. This is a project taken on by the Louisiana Baptist Convention. It's headed up now under the Louisiana Reach Haiti. What do you call that?
It's a nonprofit.
Nonprofit thing. The Louisiana Baptist Children's Home. are in partnership with us, and a number of Louisiana Baptist churches. Mm-hmm. It's a thing that's growing. We're getting the first two buildings are completed. There's still about another four buildings to be on that site. Mm-hmm. But that's what our hope in coming to share with you today is about. We want to invite you as a church or an individual to jump on board with us. Let's make this happen. When you see those kids growing up in those kind of conditions, it absolutely breaks my heart. And I want to, we have enough time, I was watching the clock. I want to share with you, you know, this works. What we're trying to do works. It's going to change the lives of the children that we work with. It's a drop in the bucket compared to the need. But the reason I tell you that it works is I know that personally. I mentioned the Louisiana Baptist Children's Home that we're in partnership with. Today I want you to know that I grew up in the Arkansas Baptist Children's Home. And the reason I did was because of the tremendous need in my family. The poverty that we experienced growing up till age 12. Poverty created and by alcoholic father and stepfather. Therefore, Lana mentioned the drug treatment, alcohol treatment centers that God allowed us to be a part of starting in Brazil. Growing up in the Arkansas Baptist Children's Home, we have two children's homes in Brazil now because God put that on our hearts to make that happen. Well, how do we make that happen? Well, by people just like you. We certainly can't do it. But with the International Mission Board, the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering, with volunteer teams coming down on a regular basis to help make those things happen, that works. Haiti is an example of this today. We already have property and two of the buildings ready. It's our hope, you know, whether it happens or not, we'll be able to start receiving children by the beginning of this next year. That all depends on the Haitian government and meeting their requirements and all of that. Mm-hmm. While I was at the children's home, by the time I was 12, I guess I want to tell you that I was angry, and I was quiet, and I was hurt and felt rejected. All of the things that you can imagine. And then when we were placed, my brother and sister and I, into the children's home, rejected. Although that we weren't rejected, we were given safety. Our mother, who I love to this day, finally help. They were abusive physically. Don't have time to go into details, but I'm talking about terrible guns, knives, threats. Mm-hmm. We needed shelter and protection. Baptist provided that for me. The children's home, the staff there, you know what? They told me about Jesus. And that made all the difference in my life. Stayed there till I graduated from high school. They sent me to college, second one in my whole family to ever graduate from high school, first one to ever go to college, and then seminary, and then graduate school, and God opened doors, and then International Mission Board. And somewhere in between there, a lovely lady who was a missionary kid from Brazil. And what she saw in me to this day, I don't know. But she did, and we were used by God in a wonderful way in Brazil to do things that he had placed on our hearts from the time before I was even born. He had things prepared and planned for me to be a part of. 2 Corinthians 5:15. And he died for all, that those who live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Our short time on this earth, God has a purpose for us. Now, I was very pleased to hear that you got a business meeting tonight. Because that means you're going to come back. I hope that's what that means. I hope it doesn't keep you away, because I want to share with you tonight. Tonight I'm going to be preaching about heaven, about the spiritual, about the heavenly rewards awaiting us there in heaven, and give some little detail to that you may not hear just on a regular basis from our pulpit. So I hope you'll come back for that. Isaiah 6, 8, and 9. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell his people." Alana and I, we faced that decision in 1983. Best decision we ever made. Little young couple with no idea what it was all about. But God opened those doors, provided us with so many blessings, personal blessings, but it allowed us to be a part of blessing the lives of others. Today, our children are also missionaries around the world in Kenya, Italy, Bosnia, and because they love it. They've learned that God has a plan for them. Tonight, I'm going to talk about this little short time of existence we have on earth to answer the call that Jesus has laid out to us. And so that would be my challenge to you this morning, as a church body and as individuals. Hear what I've said about Haiti. The world is full of needs. We're here this morning because we want to represent those children in Haiti. We want to get them out of off of the street into the children's home, where they're going to have a life, where someone's going to love them, where someone's going to tell them about Jesus. And like Alana said earlier, our hope and desire and our plan as Louisiana Baptist is for these children to win their country to the Lord. And they've just got one little life to do it in. Mm-hmm. Okay? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brother Ron. Thank you, Brother Ron and Miss Alana. And a question that you have heard at the end of every service here: what about you? Two questions, really. What about Central Baptist Church? What are we doing? You know, as the music plays this morning, I want to encourage you to think about these two questions. What are we doing as Central Baptist Church? And what am I doing? What are you doing? I know we're out of time. It's time to go. But what are we doing as a church to fulfill the Great Commission? What are we doing to reach our Jerusalem, Spring Hill? You know, we have a wonderful opportunity this Wednesday night, Trunk or Treat. Trunk or Treat is more than just about passing out candy. It's more than decorations and costume. Trunk or Treat is about reaching people for Christ. And we have an opportunity to do that. What are we going to do? We have an opportunity to help children and youth get to church who want to come. You know, one of the first things that I noticed when we first came here about our Wednesday night program is the number of children and youth. I remember my wife and I talking about this. The number of children who rode their bike, who walked, some from quite a bit of distance, to come here because they wanted to come to church. And I was impressed with that. We were impressed with that. But what are we doing to help them? We have more children, youth who would come to church if we'd simply go get them. What are we going to do about that? What are we going to do? What are we doing to reach our Judea, the state of Louisiana? How are we a part of that? God is moving. If you don't know that, God is moving in our state. And then what are we going to do to be a part of that? How are we going to get in on what God is doing? And what are we doing to the ends of the earth? We've heard about Haiti this morning. It's very dear to my heart because I know I've been to a place like that. I've been, not Haiti, I've been to Peru and seen devastation and seen poverty, seen people who desperately want to hear about Jesus. What are we doing in God's work? And then the second question, what are you doing? What are you going to do? Are you answering God's call on your life? I know we may not have anybody in here who's being called to be a foreign missionary, but we might. There might be somebody here. Are you following God's call on what He is calling you to do? Whether it's right here in Spring Hill or whether it's anywhere else, are you following God's call on your life? Are you fulfilling the Great Commission? Reaching people for Christ? Those are some questions to think about this morning. As we close our time of service, we want to give just a moment to give you a chance to respond to what God may be calling you to do. We're gonna have a couple of deacons up here at the front. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing a verse or two. If you need to answer God's call, if you need to make a decision for Christ, come. Our deacons will be here to receive you, to pray with you, whatever you need during this time. Let God work.